So this morning, I am here to give a lesson, but there's something else that I was told to talk about before I really got into the nitty-gritty. So as Mr. Darren addressed before I came up here and spoke, I have been the intern this past summer. And the elders spoke to me about a week ago, and they said, at some point we want you to speak and let the congregation know what you've done over this last summer, what your job entailed, why you were doing it, and things like that, because I'm sure some of you knew I was the intern, but of course many of you may not have known, so that's why I am here this morning. So about 4 months ago to the day, not to the day, I'm just guessing, maybe a little bit more than that, I approached the elders and I talked to them about an internship opportunity. Of course, I don't believe Fairfield's ever actually had an intern before, but it's just something in my heart that I felt that I had to do. So the reason this all came about in the first place was back at Freed Hardeman, where I'm attending college, the Bible majors there, and even those that have an emphasis in ministry like myself, there are many congregations from all over the region, some in Kentucky, some in Alabama. I think there are even some in Texas, some churches that look for interns from schools like Freed Hardeman. And the heads of the Bible department was asking me. I was getting emails about different opportunities in these different churches. And it really got me thinking about just the idea of an internship. Because I know I want to be a preacher. I know I want to be a minister of some kind. And I knew I wanted something to do with Fairfield Church of Christ. Because as great as I'm sure all those churches were that were looking for interns, none of them really would mean as much to me as Fairfield Church of Christ. Because every single one of you in here is special and mean very much to me. And I wanted to be a part of this congregation when I do my work. So this brings me to the 4 months ago that I was telling you about just a little bit ago about approaching the elders. So I thought, why not? I know we haven't done it before. It'd be kind of weird. We know it's kind of, we know Centerville Church of Christ has an intern and Fairfield's never done that. So I thought, why not be the first? Because there is no time like the present. So I talked to the elders and they really asked me the details of what the internship was supposed to be, what I was supposed to do. And Freed Hardeman has a few different guidelines for interns, and actually those guidelines, Mr. Mike Kelly, I'm not sure if he is here this morning, I think he might be a little under the weather. He was keeping track with the things I was doing, and he has a whole form that the ministers have to keep up with to ensure that I'm doing the job I'm supposed to. And one of those jobs was that I was supposed to teach a class weekly. So in late May, when I finally got out of school for summer, which it's unbelievable that I'm already going back tomorrow. It feels like summer went by in the blink of an eye. But one of those jobs was to teach a class. So starting in May, I talked to Christopher about what I could do about that. Because I knew I wanted to leave Sunday morning the class in his hands because he's the youth minister. And I feel like Sunday morning is kind of the big one, so to speak. So I let him do that. So Wednesday night, I asked him about doing a Wednesday night class every week. And with his work schedule, he thought that would be a great idea. So I start teaching his Wednesday night class starting back in May. And we actually went through the book of Proverbs and had many, many great discussions. I tell you what, the guys that were in that class, and it seemed like there was a new face almost every week in the class, even though we didn't have, 40 people, we still had some amazing, amazing discussions. And I love all those guys that I was in there, and I was very grateful for the opportunity to teach them and even learn a thing or two myself while also getting to see some new faces and to meet some pretty awesome people. And of course, in that class, Coach Wright would come in occasionally, and Mike had to come in and monitor the class and make sure I was actually doing discussion and not going off topic and talking for 40 minutes about something that didn't matter. So we also had some great discussion from those guys as well, because they are amazing at what they do, and they are so biblically intelligent, and that's something I shoot for one of these days, to have the knowledge that Chris or that Mike does. So teaching the class was one of my roles as the intern. And another one of those roles was being involved with youth activities in general. So as I mentioned earlier, with Chris's work schedule, there would be some Tuesdays for Devo when he wouldn't be here. So I knew that that was the time that I needed to step in and teach Devos, which was also amazing. Devos are always a great time. And I want to give a shout out and a word of appreciation to the people that really make those Devos run as fluently as they do. And that is Steve and Teresa Kraft. They do so much for this church that sometimes goes under the radar. And I'm not sure how this church would function sometimes if they weren't here. So Miss Teresa, Mr. Steve, we love you very much and thank you for all the hard work you do for Fairfield. So I would fill in for Devos and I would teach them, and they were also great times. We'd have so many visitors come in and we'd have a lot of great discussion and a lot of fun activities. And on top of that, well, pretty much the entire month of July was really when our youth activity started picking up. The month of June was pretty much the month that me and Miss Jennifer Knight were talking about VBS topics, which took about the 4 weeks to come up with, because every Sunday of June, we would come up to each other and say, oh, so you have a topic yet? And then we'd both be like, no. So it took us a while to get the topic, which, as you know, was Walk by Faith, because, you know, it was just a few weeks ago. And, of course, that was awesome. And I thank everyone that was involved with making that happen and all those that attended. That was just an amazing event. And believe it or not, that event was actually kind of last minute. I'm pretty sure that the idea of doing a VBS actually came in like late May, maybe, because I always thought it'd be amazing in my first internship here at Fairfield to get a VBS going, and given all the craziness that happened last year with COVID and whatnot, we knew this year would be kind of different because everyone was just kind of starting to get back in the swing of things at least. So we had an abbreviated 2-week version, as you know, and that was amazing. We had an unbelievable turnout, and for the first week where we had our classes, we had two amazing guests, being Matthew Dotson and Craig Shelton. They did a wonderful job, and it was also amazing not only to see the kids do the songs and dances up front, but even the adults littered in the back doing the dances, letting their inner kid out, which was pretty awesome as well. And then that next week, following our week of classes, which was August the 1st, which really wasn't that long ago. I can't believe it's already, what, August the 15th, 16th, something like that. Time goes way too fast. So we went down to the pool, and we had an awesome time there. I was fortunate enough to be able to give the devotional to a bunch of awesome people. And we had around maybe 100 people there. I mean, I'm doing the preacher rounding, so we could have had 70, but I'm just saying 100 anyway. And then we also had a good number here at church while the pool was going on, and it made for all in all just a wonderful night full of fun and fellowship and some pretty good food as well. So we had a VBS. That was something that I worked on as the intern, with coming up with a topic, with coming up with a devotional. But I don't want to take, you know, pretty much half the credit, because Miss Jennifer and Miss Teresa did an incredible job with that as well. I was just kind of there to help out where I could. And that pretty much sums up my entire experience as an intern, because as Mr. Darren says, I was a ministry intern. So I was pretty much here to fill in for the youth minister or the minister, him, the pulpit minister, you know, being Mike, or even Rodney when he couldn't be here on a Sunday night. That's when I would fill in. Or if Mike wasn't feeling too good on a Sunday morning like he is today, that's where I come into play. And also, another event we had in July, which was probably one of the hardest, even more so than VBS, and that was the lock-in we had on Friday, July the 9th, I believe it was. It was a long night, to be sure. I mean, we went from 6 p.m. Friday afternoon, Friday evening, to 8 a.m. Saturday morning, and some people slept, some people didn't. Of course, we shamed the ones that did sleep. You know, that's just what you do. But it was an amazing time. We had an incredible turnout, and we even had a fun boys versus girls competition going on throughout the night, which I would like to add, as a representative of the male gender, the boys won, by the way. I'm just going to put that out there. So I'm really proud of you boys, if any of you were here that was there that night. But above that, it was just another awesome night with a bunch of like-minded Christians having fun and fellowshipping. And Chris gave an unbelievable Devo. It was one of the best I'd ever heard, and it was really awesome. And we're thankful to have him here. So that's pretty much all the activities that we did. It was a very busy July / beginning of August with Devos thrown in. Even for one Sunday night, we had an after church hangout with hot dogs and stuff, and that's something that I'd love for us to do more often. And on this last note, while I'm talking about activities, in October, we are having our annual hayride at the Mayberries, so be there for that. I think sign-up sheets may be going out soon or something like that. The details are still a little bit up in the air. So once I know more, once Dad knows more, we'll relay that information to you all. So that's going to be an awesome time. So the reason, I'm going to close out this little talk about the reason why I did the internship. And that's because not only do I love being here at Fairfield, not only do I love every single one of you in here, but it also helped me get college credit. So what that means is, for the fall semester, this whole internship counted as one whole class, as long as I presented the proper information, you know, clarifying that I did all the stuff that I say I did. So I'm walking in to Freed Hardeman this fall with already another class under my belt, and I didn't step foot in a classroom other than the field house, I guess, if you consider that a classroom. So it was really just an awesome summer, and I hope to be back and doing it again next year. Of course, you know, I'm not, like Darren said earlier, I'm not exactly a guest. I'll still be here on most Sundays when a preacher is needed or a teacher for a class. I will still try to be here as much as I can, although for Wednesday night classes, I will no longer be able to be here. So, guys, I hope you can function without me. You can carry on. But that is pretty much my internship experience, and that is the why and the how. So if you had any questions about it before, hopefully you don't now. And if you do have questions about what I did as an intern or anything like that, feel free to talk to me after worship service is over. And I'd love to answer any of your questions. And if you thought I wasn't actually the intern, then I can clarify, you know, I can confirm that I was the intern. It's not just some title. I did do stuff a little bit at least. So with that being said, I think it's about time we actually, you know, talk about important stuff, that being from the Bible, you know, the Holy Word and all that good stuff. So my lesson for this morning, I want it to be something kind of similar to what I was talking about, the internship, but that's just being the importance and the purpose of the church itself. And this is a topic that I loved looking into, because it seems like the church has changed so much, even just in the last 20 years or so, from what I've seen and heard from different adults that have grown up and lived through these different time periods. But it's important to note that the purpose of the church has never changed ever since its creation, pretty much. So that's the question I ask. What is the purpose of the church? What does it do for us? What does it do for our community? Well, there are a few answers that you might be thinking. Maybe it's to share our faith. Maybe it's to bring glory to God. Or maybe it's simply to be an extension of Jesus Christ himself, to be his body. See, the problem is that it's God that should say what our priorities should be within the church, or our purpose here in Hickman County. God decides that. Now, what would God say is the purpose of not just this church here at Fairfield, but the purpose of every church? See, there's a story about a boy doing archery in the garden. He is firing arrows at a fence. He then walks up and paints a target around where that arrow has landed. When he was asked about what he's doing, he replies, "Well, that way I always hit the target." So sometimes I wonder if God looks at us like we do with this boy. Today, we think about what I believe are God's two main purposes for us here, and really in every church everywhere. So first of my two points that we're talking about, they'll be very, very broad points that we can branch off and go with different discussion here. So the first point is, first, we are to bring glory to God, first and foremost. And the reading for this first point will be Romans 15, verses 1 through 13. So if you'd like to turn there at this time, you can follow along. It is the example of Christ, and it reads, "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, 'The reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me.' For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let the peoples extol him. And again Isaiah says, The root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. See, this just tells us that we are to bring glory to God in all that we do through our works. And God's purpose for all Christians is that we would work together. And we see in Romans 15:5 to make this joyful, united, wonderful sound that brings glory to God. And Paul encourages this in Romans 15, verse 5. Where it says, May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mind you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first, foremost, and absolute overriding reason for being a church must be this: to bring glory to God the Father. Now, according to this verse, this bringing of glory depends on us being one. Depends on us being united. Paul is saying that we can only achieve this by honoring of God, by being unified, by speaking with one clear voice. Now, even though in this church here at Fairfield, we have many different leaders, we have deacons, we have elders, we have ministers, and we have a variety of teachers and other people that do work around here, but just because you are not an elder, just because you are not a deacon, just because you are not a classroom teacher on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, that does not make you any less important. We are all here this morning serving the exact same purpose. Guys, I'm here to tell you, once you walk through either of these doors around us, you become a part of something greater than yourself. You become a part of one church, and you become a part of Christ's body linked together with fellow Christians. And this unity is such a beautiful thing. And this is a unity that we've seen kind of slip from just the church in general, not ours, but just the church in general. We see people are so divided. We see the world of politics enter the world of God. And we see politics enter the church, and it tears it down, like the church in Corinth that Paul wrote to that was suffering from this divide. See, for me, there are echoes here of the great commands in the Old Testament. We all know Deuteronomy 6:5, where it says, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Now, we see this Old Testament verse, and many people in the church today believe the Old Testament to be unimportant, and I think that's just not the case. Because we see later Jesus put this with the teaching of Leviticus 19:18, where it says, Love your neighbor as yourself. And this is how we get the great commandment, as we're all so familiar with. Now, if we truly want to please God in the church, then we don't do that by arguing. We don't do that by demanding that our way and our way alone is followed. We do not bring glory to God by finding all sorts of reasons not to follow God's way and those that God has chosen to lead, but instead only when we are unified and speak with one heart and voice and love our neighbors as we do ourselves. This means hearing and valuing other people's views within the church as much as your own, and not just snipping away all the bits and ignore the parts that we don't like, because there's more to it than that. But so often, we're kind of like that, aren't we? I mean, this includes myself as well. Our feelings run high, especially about the topic of worship and about the church. We become very, very stubborn. Yet we have to listen to our God about this. If you ignore everything else the Spirit tries to teach us this year, then listen and hear me out on this one thing. We are interdependent, and we will simply not bless or bring glory to God unless we all pull together in the same direction. Because if two things start pulling in opposite directions, what happens? That starts building tension in the middle. And eventually that tension will cause the rope to snap, and then everything starts to fall apart. We need one another, a bit like how an orchestra needs all the various different instruments to work together and to follow the conductor. Imagine how awful the noise would be if the second violin or first trombone decided they wanted to set the tempo or the volume instead of the first violin or the conductor himself or herself. The Message translating this passage from Romans 15, verse 5 in particular, it really hits on a musical theme, and it offers a wonderful insight into how you and I are supposed to be bringing this glory to God. Now let's go back and just reread Romans 15, verse 5, just so we remember. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus. Now, a lot of this comes from having a certain spiritual maturity. Now, of course, maturity isn't exactly the same thing as age, because I've met some very immature adults and some actually very immature teens. I actually meet a mature teen every morning when I look in the mirror. So, if we are growing with Jesus and gaining this maturity, then we will desire unity like the very air that we breathe. And we know oxygen is pretty important, but God is more important, and this unity. When and only when we all work together will we be able to offer God this stunning, and I'm going to say, anthem. Because we see the musical theme here in Romans 15, verse 5. And I say anthem because I'm a music fan, as some of you may know. And about a week and a half ago, I went to a concert for this band called Greta Van Fleet. And on their album that they released in 2018, their closing track was called Anthem. And I want to read the first few lines for the song because it speaks volumes to me. It says, "With the news, there's something every day. So many people thinking different ways, you say. Where is the music, a tune to free the soul? A simple lyric to unite us all, you know. Your opinion only knows the one thing that you seem to want to have most. And you chose to save yourself in your own time. You'll have to stay and open up your own mind." Because we know when Greta Van Fleet says, "A tune to free the soul, a simple lyric to unite us all," we can think of it as a music lyric. But what if we looked at it in unity in a spiritual sense, where this tune, this lyric is how we lived our lives. We lived our lives as a beautiful tune, as a beautiful sound to the Lord, and our lives will reflect that. Can you imagine the sound here at Fairfield if we all started singing different songs? Maybe Darren comes up and leads song number 235, and here we are all reading song number 456, and someone else is reading 323, and a bunch of random things, and I can't imagine it would sound very good. I mean, can you imagine if I were the song leader? I can imagine that would not sound very good either. But what we are called to create is a symphony, a beautiful symphony, not one of destruction, and it's one of life and one of happiness and righteousness. And symphony is a very important word in the life of the church, because we know a symphony means to make this harmonious noise and to act harmoniously together. And that is really why we are called by God to be here, to be in unison and in harmony, so that together with one heart and mouth we bring glory to God. Not this concoction of terrible noises, but one beautiful sound. When we start living like this, we begin to offer God the worship that not only are we supposed to be giving, but the worship that He quite frankly deserves more than anything in the world. And we begin singing this stunning anthem to our Father who is in heaven. And if we don't feel the need to come together right now, we are quite arrogantly saying to God, "I don't want unity. I'll keep doing my thing, God. You know, I don't need these people. I don't really need you either, God. I can do my own thing. I can take care of it. You know what, everyone else? You can make like Fleetwood Mac and go your own way." But how arrogant is that to say? To say that we don't need unity, to say that we can tackle everything on our own, that we don't need God. There is nothing that could be said that is any further from the truth. So that won't simply do at all, will it? We need unity to bring glory to God as a church. So that brings me to my second and final point this morning, and that is for us to be witnesses. That is the second purpose of the church. And if you'd like to turn your Bibles to the next passage, if you have one, it is one that we all know very well, and that's Matthew 28, 16 through 20. And we know this as the Great Commission, and it reads like this. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." What an encouraging and uplifting message Jesus gives to us here. We are called for the benefit of those who have yet to hear God's love yet, who haven't been blessed to hear it. See, this missionary, this evangelistic element to our being here is very vital to the church. There was a story told of a Victorian steam machine with 900 different moving parts, with bells, whistles. It was incredible. It captivated the Queen, Queen Victoria, and won a design award. Then a spectator asked what it was for and what it did. The answer came back, "Oh, nothing." So it was 900 moving parts used for nothing. Nothing at all. If we are not making new disciples, then we are useless. We can have the most wonderful worship area. We can have the best community buildings. We can have the most inspiring worship in the land. But unless we are about this purpose of being witnesses, then spiritually, we are about as useful as a flashlight with no batteries. Maybe you've never really noticed how this command is phrased before. It is important because it gives a huge clue about how we are to be witnesses. It says, be going, be about as you go, or be natural. We need to be evangelical in our everyday walks of life, in everyday conversations. Just because you're not always talking about something religious or talking about God, the way you act, the way you treat people, and the way you address people speaks volumes about who you are, your character, and it speaks about God because we are representing Him every day that we wake up and go about our daily walks of life. I am under the full belief that if we began to gossip about all that God has done with the same eagerness that we sometimes gossip about other things in our lives, especially things that we don't like or that we're jealous about, oh, I think then we would begin to see truly incredible things happen. We can and must influence where thousands here in our community and our world will spend not just the next few years, but for all eternity. That is a very daunting job put upon us by our Father in heaven, but He knows we're up to the task because we are made in His image. We are His special creations. We are individually, each of us, witnesses of Jesus' love. So in conclusion, those are our purposes here at Fairfield. These two passions that we need to have need to be what's propelling us forward. I would hope that together we could follow the Spirit's lead and make our Father's heart glad. Because I know as a son myself, there is nothing I love more than hearing my mom or dad say, "Josh, I'm really proud of you." And I know we'd feel the same way if God was able to physically tell us, you know, insert name here, "I am proud of you, my son, my daughter, you're doing a good job." So we should strive to make our Father's heart glad. And this morning, I just pray earnestly that we wouldn't just simply sit on our hands or aim at the wrong targets. Instead, that we commit, because it really is a commitment. That really is us as Christians. It is a commitment to bring others to Christ, to seeing many come to this saving knowledge of our Jesus and of our Lord and Savior. Because think about it. At one point, we didn't know who Jesus was until someone told us or until our parents took us to church. Maybe there's someone out there waiting for that same treatment that we once got. Maybe there's someone out there waiting for you in particular to come up to them one random day and to tell them about how awesome Jesus is. And you never know, that might just save their life. And that is our job here at Fairfield. That's how I want us to be judged over the coming years. As Fairfield blossoms and grows as I know it can, whether it be whether it be in the Department of Youth or whether it just be here on worship service every morning. I have no doubt that Fairfield will continue to grow and get better and better by the day. So that's how we should be judged. Did we sing that amazing anthem with our words? And have we been living lives to the glory of God? These are the questions that I want us to ask ourselves as members of Fairfield Church of Christ. Did we see men, women, and young people born again? Now this morning, I invite you, if you feel that you have yet to be born again, if you haven't been baptized in these waters, or if you feel that you don't have a purpose, that you need to discuss that, because I promise you do have a purpose here in the church and in this community. Or like I said, if you want to simply put on Christ in baptism, be born again, you can do so at this time. Together we stand and sing a song of encouragement.